Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And I bet you don't even know how you got here. Not here, but time-wise. You're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 like myself. You can't even, your life behind you is a phantom. You don't even know how you, it was just like there and then it wasn't. Guess what? The moment you draw your last breath, if it doubles in time, wherever you're at, you still won't know where you, how you got there. It'll just pass so quickly. So Solomon said this. He said, vanity, vanity, vanity. It was all vanity. Every moment me trying to fix something. Every moment me trying to worry about something. Every moment me trying to do and to get and to be and get somewhere. He said, I found out the conclusion of all things is to seek the Lord God and to know Him. That's all your existence is for. And if you'll just fall on Him and say, everything else really just don't matter. If I can have 5 minutes of your presence, that'll somehow get out and fix everything that I'm spending stupid time trying to worry about and get fixed. My whole life, he said, it's just vanity. Meaning, when you close your sleepy little eyes and draw your last breath, all of everything you tried to do or have or to fix won't mean a hill of beans. All will matter is what kind of fellowship you had with Him in this life. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Is He coming back soon? I don't know, but you're going to die soon. Your days is just about over. Because that's what He said, it's a vapor. You better spend these last few days getting ready to be ushered into what you'll do for eternity. Will we prophesy there? Oh no, there won't be no need for prophecy. Will we pray in tongues? I wish we could, but there won't even, He said, that be done away with. But guess what? We'll always stand in front of Him and say, I love You, I worship You, I magnify You. That's why I was conceived, and that's why I'll go through eternities. I'll magnify You for the rest of my life. Hallelujah. I worship You. Hallelujah. So whatever it could be that would gain your attention this morning, it's vanity. Oh, doesn't He want it fixed? Oh, yeah. I can tell you the best way to just abandon it, walk off and leave it, forsake it like a child laying there crying. Amen. And say, okay, God, You're what it's all about. I throw myself down on the altar of worship and I praise You and magnify You, the only reason for life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Woo. Lord Jesus.
Glory be to God.
We glorify You.
We're just going to worship some more. In fact, I just get so tempted, knowing what it's really all about. My greatest temptation is to come in here and do nothing. Just to do nothing. Because He said, my house shall be called the house of worship. Meaning, what you're seeing, the way that church services are conducted now, it's not even a phantom. It's not even a scale of what it was supposed to be. If He doesn't come and touch you in a service, you haven't been to church. So to go through a program like, okay, what should be next? I don't show up for the worship because I like the teaching. My greatest temptation is probably what He wants us to do. It's really my flesh or my spirit wanting to know Him more. This is what Solomon said. He said, when you come into the house of God, remain silent. He wasn't talking about you couldn't open your voice and pray. But He was saying your visitation when you come in has to be from Him. And if you're waiting for an order to get you some kind of high or thrill to say, okay, I got something out of church. My greatest temptation is to come in here because if He doesn't do it, it's not done. I just don't want to do anything. I just want to sit here and magnify Him and praise Him because that's the beginning of life, and that's the end of life. Just you knowing God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know in heaven there won't be any altar calls for grace lines? Nobody, it'll be so wonderful, you'll lose all thought of yourself and why you came to church to get your needs met. Why don't you practice that right now?
Yes.
Practice it. Just lose all thought. Put it all on Him. Magnify You, Jesus. I think some of you would like, you may not know you'd like it, but if you came and gave yourself to a position, a posture of worship up here, just for a little while, something may fall on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what He was saying. This is what He began to open the door to say. The entrance of it went something like this. These things that you're experiencing and feeling now are the quakings of those things which are to come, saith the Spirit of grace. For a long time since, even since the days of the apostles, I've desired to come back after that which I left, yet without spot and without blemish. And there are those on this planet that are finding that way and breaking free from those things which have been set before them. Know this, that these things which are cultivated in the Spirit will bring forth a great harvest, saith the Spirit of grace. For many which came before you prayed, hoping to see these days. And some came and some went. But the prayers offered up by the saints of old who lived in seasons and days prior to this prayed for the outpouring. And this is the beginning of these things that you yourself have called into existence. For know that it will not be another generation for which you're sowing for. But know this, that these things will culminate and come to rest in the generation that you now stand in. That great outpouring which will usher in My presence is upon you, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Kirinse karasolono. Well, I think He's going to go out in a blaze of glory. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe some lights, cameras, action. It won't be long that the world will see us. But we want to be growing out arms and legs then. They used to say, buy television time and go buy you a radio station or a TV station. And that was where technology was. And the devil kept everybody at bay because you needed millions of dollars to get going. You know, probably by Monday afternoon, when there is teaching, but this is teaching right here. It's a demonstration. It's what brings revival. But by Monday afternoon, you can go on the website, because Kathy's already got it edited, and you can listen to anything that I teach or anybody else teaches, or any kind of prophecy. It's usually there by Monday, Tuesday. That's how quick it's coming out. But eventually, and what we'll have is cameras. And Tim Stemple told me about 5 years ago, he was sitting at Luby's with me, and he said, David Coker was sitting there. He's another preacher. He said, you know, your computers will replace your televisions. And they'll replace what you're going to get as far as the propagation of the gospel. I was thinking, you know, I couldn't quite understand that. Now, it's just all the TVs in the near future will have a combination TV computer. So, you know, if you do your internet stuff, you can just switch it over to another mode and you can work right off of your TV and you can pull the internet right through it. Well, the great thing is this, is if you've got a website people can just tune into, so anybody that knows anything about a computer, you can just tune right into your website and then you pop right up on the screen. Not listening, but then you go to live streaming. For what? Oh, just a few $1,000s. Millions. Everybody in America and around the world that's got a computer can watch you on their television set. On their television set. When? When it's happening. Right then. For just a few. Is that amazing or what? That's where we live now. That's not going to happen. They're making the TVs now where you just, you don't have to go in your back bedroom, turn on the computer. You'll be able to just, it'll help a lot of people that are not in this environment. Because I used to. Now, you know, I used to tell people that were in other places, or people would come up to me that were wanting to get on this walk. And I say this walk, I don't know how to term it. It's not our walk. It's not a walk. It's the walk that He left. And all we're doing is trying to find out everything about it. We're trying to dig the garbage off of it. We're finding out that praying in tongues is a revelation gift. And it's the first thing He gave you. When you got born again, they you know, 2,000 years, they could not give you a New Testament because there was no New Testament. But the thing that He gave us simultaneously with the new birth was the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it was supposed to lead you. He was supposed to lead you and guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. Makes sense to pray in tongues all the time. Hallelujah. Well, I used to tell people, or people would say, I don't have a church like that, or a church like the prayer center. And they'd say, well, and I'd say, well, just find a church, a good believing church, and at least go to church. God corrected me on that, boy. I don't believe that anymore. I believe just like Gary does. I believe don't go to a place that if you're on this walk. Now, if you don't care about praying in tongues and you're just not in the Word, and if you're just going to live a nominal Christian life, then just find a place as long as it's not a satanic church. Find one that believes in the blood and get you to heaven. But if you're on this walk, where truth is the absolute precedence of your life, don't go. Don't go to church. If you're in a far city and you can't find one, and the only one that's offered to you has got 60-40 or 70-30 or 80-20 arsenic in it. I used to say, people would say, well, they don't have a church to go to, and I'd say, well, praise God, at least they're going to church. No. Now He's made available. I don't even have a computer, Pastor. Go down to your local library. They got high speed down there. Go buy a disc, or go buy a $30 MP3 player at Circuit City and tune in. Because now His knowledge is as the waters cover the earth. I believe in church. But there's people that's left us and went places, and they'd call me back and they'd say, I've looked all over, and the last church I was at, they said the preacher they had in there was teaching the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are two different things. I said, my God, what should I do? I said, don't go back there. Don't go back there. So I thought I still believed that, and then I heard Gary say that the other day. I said, my God, that's exactly what I believe. It's the worst thing in the world to tell people just to go to church, just to go, when they're sitting there being fed poison and they don't even know they're being fed poison every single week. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I worship You, Jesus. Aren't You glad You get fed truth? Hallelujah. By the Holy Spirit. I exalt You, Jesus. I exalt You, Jesus. Hallelujah. I worship You and praise You. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Mas ofreci che lessi niano. Porosche le tieni. Oh, Jesus. Your direction. Balofroche le crinstini podasta. He's wanting you to know that things that he's serving up to you now, in these days, they're so necessary. So necessary. If you'll hold on to them like your life depended on it, the spiritual part of it, he'll get you past. He'll get you on the right road and get you in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just turn with me for just a moment to Luke. I think he wants me to read what I exhorted some of up there. Hallelujah. Turn to, I believe it's the 18th chapter. Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Sounds real good. Stretch your faith this way for a moment. Help me out, would you? So, Father, I just worship you and thank you and praise you for your glory and your grace. I receive from you the edification of your Spirit now for you to get done what you want to do, and I thank you for it through Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Look at chapter 18 with me for just a moment. I hope that you stay in this. You know of everything of him moving up here. I want to be a word-based church, because that'll keep you from getting flaky. Well, we do that. Where do you find it at? You know, the feather's coming down. Well, he said, under his wings shalt thou trust. The old flaky thing, why don't you just pray in tongues? Hallelujah. Well, we see signs. What kind of signs? The old, you know, gold dust. I'm so glad Mockley's out of the mainstream of things. It's been a blessing. I told somebody the other day, I said, we're so far out. If you came there and tried to correct things that are going on in the big circuit of stuff, our people would look at you and say, we don't know what you're talking about. Don't tell us about that devil. It's okay. We'll hear about him. The Holy Spirit will tell us. He said in verse 1 of chapter 18, he said, I was exhorted on this the other day, so he said for me to read it to you. He spake a parable, this is Jesus, unto them to this end, that men ought always, everybody say always, to pray. Yeah? How many's ever heard a message on prayer around here? My God. And not to what? Faint. Not to faint. Now, when he's talking about faint there, he's not talking about you passing out in the service. He's talking about you coming to a place in your life where you give up and you say, I quit. I throw in the towel. Enough is enough. Well, how many of you can see that if you do pray, you won't faint? You won't faint. James had it like this. James said, is any afflicted among you? If there is any afflicted among you, then have a major seminar and teach on how to come out of affliction. He said, plant your... What's a nice name that you can say over the internet? Keister. In the chair. And keep praying. Because he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. Go down the road praying. Shower praying. Work praying. Praying. What could you do, or how could you pray continually and not give your mind to it and yet it really be a prayer? Well, I know one. Praying in other tongues. Don't you, Ral? Hallelujah. And if you pray in tongues enough, you will immunize yourself against ever coming to the day that you faint. Meaning, I quit. I'm exhausted. I can't go on any further. Devil's got me at bay. He said, he spake this parable. So this parable is about people not fainting and about living a victorious life. Because this is what this parable is about. That men should always to pray and not faint. And this is what he said. He said, there was in a city a judge. There was a judge. In what? A certain city. Which feared not God, neither regarded man. Now let me just stop right there, and if you'll just listen for a moment. First of all, let me just jump ahead and tell you what this does and doesn't mean, and then we'll just pull it out and go to something else maybe for just a moment. What this doesn't mean is, obviously, what you've heard others try to make it mean is somehow this is your effort of tenacity towards God. First of all, did we not just read that there was in a city a man who did not fear God? Does that sound like God? A wicked kind of uncaring. He didn't fear God and he didn't fear man. You know, I was somewhere the other day. I think it was, in fact, it was here when we had the bike rally, and some person I was talking to, not part of our bunch, somebody that showed up. And I was just giving them they were really nice and they were wonderful people. I can't even remember exactly who they were, but I think I remember where they were from. But we were in a conversation like you have with a lot of Christians, and they were talking, and I said, you know, they were asking us about our place, and I was saying, you know, yeah, we're believing for a revival, and this is what we believe that it looks like, and this is what we're after. And then they said, you know, they were after that too. And I thought, man, that's great. And so then they said, well, what we're doing is we're just going to stay at it, like that woman in the Bible who just wore God out. She just wore God out she just kept coming to Him like that judge. First of all, how many of you know you cannot wear God out? You could just stand there 1,000,000,000 years trying to get something from Him. How are you going to wear Him out? Well, I'm going to get something and change if I just go in there and stay in there and stay. No, there's no way possible. Besides for that, Romans 8 says, He who spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him freely give you all things? Meaning, the moment before you ever ask, He wanted to give it to you if it was His will. So you couldn't twist His arm and get it from Him. But here it says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So I'll just tell you, because we're going to move on. I can feel Him moving me on. What this obviously boils down to is the flesh of man and its cantankerous self, not wanting to yield over to the benefits of serving. See, because here's the thing. From cradle to grave, I think I said that, I did say this the other day. You're programmed for one thing, an illusion. What is the illusion? The illusion is this. You were born to serve yourself. Born from the time mama put that bottle in your mouth, it was all about you. And then when you come to a place where you meet Jesus, Jesus says, it's not all about you. The world it's not supposed to circumvent around you. If any man will lay his life down, then he'll find it. But any man who finds his life believing that it's all about him, what's my life about? How do I profit my life? How do I go forth in my life? Instead of, what have I been called to do to serve you, Master, my whole life? And see, otherwise, we live in what I said the other day, we live in a matrix. I don't know if you ever seen that old movie. It's an older one, 10, 15 years old. It's amazing. I got home last night. It was on. I said something about it up there. All really brief synopsis is, it's a guy who breaks out of it. Keanu Reeves, I think, is that. He breaks out of it, and he finds other human beings that are like himself. But, I mean, it's a sci-fi, but it's a high-tech one. And everybody's got a port, like a... What do they call those USB ports or whatever, or something like that in the back of their skull, because what they don't know is this. Millennials before, there was some kind of Star Wars kind of computers versus man, that computers actually got so self-aware that they decided, we'll take over humanity. And there was this war, and then it turned into something that actually bleached the, or blistered the sky, and all the sun was gone. And so the computers figured out that every human being had a certain amount of energy inside of him, that his body gave off electricity, and that's true. I mean, we all have a certain amount of... And they were actually growing human beings and using them as batteries to supply their matrix or their internet, their huge internet. Well, the reason why every human being was not resisting is because human beings were grown like what we can do now in a test tube. And they were grown there, but they laid there, or they just continued to vegetate their whole life, because what was being fed them through this port in the back of their skull was an illusion that they were living their own life. They believed that they were getting up and going to work. They believed they were eating at that restaurant. They believed that they were doing this. And somehow he broke free and found out that he was living a life of an illusion. And his whole mission was to go in and break up this whole thing and to rescue other human beings that thought that they were living a life that they weren't living. That's exactly what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to say, look, the illusion is this. My life is mine. He said, it's not yours. You've been bought with a price. You have been bought with a price. Your life is not your own. You can't serve yourself the rest of your life. Your life's not all about where do I go? How do I prosper? How do I get mine? Where do I get mine from? How do I enjoy raising my family? It's not that any of that stuff is sin or wrong. It's just that it's not the number one part of your life. You've been born, you've been bought with a price, and it's all about getting to know Jesus and following Him and laying down your life. My money's not my own. I thought I could invest this. Where do you want it invested? Where do you want me living? Who do you want me marrying? Where do you want me going? And believe me, it's an illusion that is stronger than the matrix. We believe. We still, even any of us that have embarked on a life of death, still believe that much of our life is up to us. It's not up to us. Glory be to God. And the problem was this unjust judge here is not God. And what we're about to read, and we're not going to get to where I wanted to go, but it's not the devil, because God's not telling you, go to the devil and get from the devil. I used to sing with everybody, I'm going to the enemy's camp to get back what he stole from me. Well, you can break it off and bind it, but he doesn't have anything for me. All my prosperity comes from above. I don't want anything back that demons have been running their fingers through. My blessings are fresh and anew every day. Hallelujah. This is not the Father that you're trying to get to do something for you. And it's not the devil. It's only one part, one person. It's the person that you've got to contend with and break free from. The matrix is this. You've got to understand this. There is a judge. And it doesn't really revere God in the sense of the word. It won't bow its knee unless you apply the spiritual pressure of the Word and praying in other tongues. And this is what Jesus said about this unjust judge. He said, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. That's your flesh. The judge is your flesh. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my enemy. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God and I don't even regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. He might as well said the flesh here. He said, and shall not God avenge His own elect which cry unto Him when? And how often? Day and night. cry unto him day and night, unto him though he bear long with them. And notice there, somebody said, well, I've been bearing long with God. No, the Bible says he bears long with you. You don't have to bear long with him. He's not got the problem. It's your unbridled flesh that he's waiting to get in a position. But when it does get into a position, when you do keep praying those mysteries, and it does come a part of your life, the revelation of how free you are, it says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he asks this question, shall he find faith on the earth? What kind of faith? Faith to raise the dead? No, the greatest kind of faith is this. Stay in there, into the place of prayer. Don't faint. Keep coming to that place where that judge, because there's one judge over you. You say, I know God's my judge. No, no, no. There's one closer than that. There's one every morning that you wake up of your life. Which way will you go? Will you go the way of the world? Will you go the way of the self-awareness of what I need to do and my plans this day? Or will you stand and say, look, I'm telling you, I will continue to pray until every kingdom of my heart is so submitted to Christ. And there's only one that you can wear down the flesh. If you keep praying in tongues, the flesh will bow its knee and say, hey, I thought that I was in charge here. And the biggest thing is this. The shroud. The shroud is so deceptive that even right now when I'm saying it, you can't even think of the things that maybe you think would be, well, as far as I know, everything's right with God. Until you begin to fast and pray, and that man is revealed, and all of a sudden you say, oh my God, I wasn't everything I thought I was. No wonder the enemy has been ruling over my life, because I was in a matrix. I was in a believability place where I believed that I was doing everything right, and yet there was so much of a part of my life ruling over my life. You keep praying in tongues, that judge will have to bow its knee. It'll have to rule in favor of the Spirit and say, okay, I give over. I give up. You can have anything you want. You want to go into God? I'll sit still. I'll not badger you. You can pray if you want to. You can sit there and pray if you want to. Hallelujah. Because most people think the illusion is this. I don't pray because I'm too busy. Matrix. It's an illusion. If I gave you, you think, oh man, if I had pastor's job, if I had more time, I'd pray. You would not. If you're not praying now, no matter how busy you are, if I bought you time, you would still not pray. If you're not praying where you're at in your situation, if I gave you extra hours, you would still use them. The judge of the flesh would still make you do. You say, well, if I had 8 to 10 hours of my day that I could just do what I wanted to, I'd pray too. You would not. You would not. A young man called me the other day. He said, Pastor, I said, yeah. He said, he just went to California. He's a great guy. If he hears this, then laugh. He won't mind me telling it. I'm telling him through the tape. He told me he was going into the ministry. He was going to quit his truck driving job. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast. I'm going to go stay with my sister. She's in California. Well, I just waited. About 2 months later, he called me. He said, hey, Pastor. He said, I said, yeah, it's good to hear from you. I said, what's going on? He said, I'm going back and getting in the truck, and I'm going to drive again. Because I was praying some then. He said, you know what I found out? I said, what? I knew. He said, when I had all the time in the world to fast and pray, and I didn't have a job anymore, I still found other things to do with my time. I still wouldn't buckle down, put my keister in the chair, and pray. Because the flesh is the flesh no matter where you find it. And if I give you, there's only 24, but if I can multiply it and give you 72, you'd still keep doing what you're doing because the flesh is the flesh until you break down and say, I'm making my stand right here on the spot. I don't care. No, that doesn't have to be changes when they go away and when I get this job finished and we do this and we get back from there and that recreation is done and then we stop celebrating this and we're, then I'm going to stop praying. No, you start to. Today is the day of salvation. That's when it changes. Hallelujah to God. Otherwise, Jesus said, the man who hears my sayings and does them not is like a man who built his house upon the sand. And the winds came. And see, the maturation of the Word of God, the 30, 60, and the 100, Mark 4, is how long can the Word stay in you? Because He's after one thing in your life. You thought what was coming after you was personal. He really, Satan hates you, but really what he's after is the Word of God. He wants to take revelation out of you, the revelation that will cause you to go on to a place of producing a revival. But the maturation of it, how long it can stay in you and stay there and not be abated or pulled out of you, depends on how much you will stay on it. And here's where it works. The quicker, that you can send down root and build and lay it on a rock. Well, how do you lay it on a rock? Do it as soon as you hear it. Do it as soon as you hear it. Because the longer you don't do it, it's still on sand. It's still appreciated, an affinity. I have an affinity towards that revelation. But do you do it? I believe a praying in tongues will work. Well, then start speaking in tongues right now. Go home, pray in tongues. I believe that confession of the Word will work. Listen, it will be stolen from you unless you begin to dig down and plant it on a rock. And the way that you plant it on a rock is to do it. See, I'm a firm believer is that even if you understand a revelation, this is what I believe. Even if you understand it, if you can repeat it back to me as well as I said it or better, I'm a firm believer that you still don't get that revelation until you practice it in your life. You could say, I believe in meditating the Word. And I'll tell you, this is why meditation works. And if you did it, and I'd say, well, where are you meditating? And you're not doing it, you still don't get meditation. If you say, I understand fasting. I understand it perfectly. And this is why it works like this. It'll destroy the flesh here. It'll build the faith here. And this is what I can preach it better than you can, Pastor. No, you don't understand it. It's not become a personal revelation and come up in your spirit until the day you step out and push the plate back and say, I understand. I will do His sayings. When I do it, it becomes meat to me. That's when I put my feet upon a rock. Glory be to God. Well, I believe in private worship. I know it'll saturate your senses. How much do you do of it? Are you going to do it this afternoon or in the morning? Or what? When are you going to do it? Glory be to God. See, I'm talking to revivalists now. Hallelujah. We want a revival, don't we? That's how you build your house upon a rock. You do it as soon as you... Because otherwise, He said He's going to come immediately to steal the Word from you. When you hear what I say today, all of us will go back. I'm not trying to, this is not my Matrix sermon. But all of us will go back to the Matrix and we will believe things that are not real. We will believe that we're walking in the fullness of the Word. But until that we're doing it, we've not busted free yet. There's a way to do it. The first thing is to be filled with the Spirit and pray in tongues until your tongue falls out. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we didn't get to where I wanted to go, Luke 14. That's where the Matrix is so real. Jesus said, I invited them all. Where are they at? And the guy said, look, they're not here because of what? I bought some land, and I've got to go see it. I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I've got to go prove them. I married a wife, and we've got to go on a honeymoon. You know what the amazing part about that was? None of those things, they're so legitimate, you can't even fight against them. If you told me I can't be there and I can't pray for any of those reasons, what do I say about it? But Jesus said those are the things that stop people from going on into God. The everyday things that they believe that they've got to invest their time. Well, I bought the vacation home up north. If you're going to spend the money, you got to go spend the 3 months in it. If you buy the boat, my God, you got to be the steward and you can't just waste it. It's got to be used. I mean, I spent the money, so now I got to pay the... You know what is a cop-out too? Is buying stuff, knowing there's a check inside, and then later saying, well, I know I missed it, but now I got to spend the hours paying for it. No, what he expects you is pay for it, but keep spending the hours in prayer. That'll teach us the next time. You can't, the subtle thing about it is he invited all these people. They were the church. Later he goes on to invite the maimed, the halt, the blind, and everyone that he wanted to come at the end. But he invited the people that's supposed to have it together to start with. And none of those excuses, none of them could be refuted. If you tell me as a pastor, I can't say, well, you're off there, because every one of them is just what people are usually doing. But it's a matrix. It's a believability, like this is the way things are. And Jesus said, you were not born for yourself. Your whole life's not supposed to be wrapped up in yourself. Hallelujah to God. Glory. Glory. I want to see a revival, don't you? It was what was stealing their time. We just lift our voice to you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. You're worthy to receive praise. Well, you can tell by the nature of the way he's been going at it, the way that the exhortations and teachings and everything, that he's not leaving anybody out. In fact, he interrupted Wednesday. I wanted to teach, and he's going after souls. If he goes after souls, then I'll stop. I'd really rather train hardcore frontline evangelists, people that are just really doing what, I mean, they want revival. But he loves everybody, and I love everybody. So we'll back up at times and go to where people are needing to be pulled forward, and they just don't know if they're going to live till tomorrow, or they're choosing sin in their life because they think that's the answer. It's just the matrix. It's just an illusion. It doesn't have to. You don't have to. If you've been born again, you don't have to. You can just say no. Hallelujah. Some people have said Immokalee is a bad place. Oh, Immokalee is a good place. I'm thankful I raised my kids in Immokalee. Immokalee never sent nobody to hell. Immokalee never got anybody on crack. It was the spirit that they allowed in their life. That's what got them. Hallelujah. But you get free. My God, you're free indeed. No more. You know what the enemy needs out of you? The thing you're not going to give him. He needs you to feel like I'm a victim. I'm this way because I got to be this way. It's been forced on me. No, you're born again. Hallelujah. Nobody can make you do anything you don't want to. The devil can't make you do anything you want to. You are free. Hallelujah. Even while you're doing something that you say, this has been forced on me by my husband or my wife or my mom or daddy, it's an illusion. You, if you're born again, you are free. Hallelujah. And I like knowing that even if I don't choose to do it. I like knowing it. Because it gives me a mark to shoot for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.